Beyond the Beauty is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Bobby Brown.
I wanted to have Alison Roman on the podcast because so many reasons. I liked her the second I met her. She's so easy, so laid back, so cool, so normal, and her food is so delicious. And everyone talks about her recipes and how to do this. And I wanted to know her story, but I also really wanted to know, how does she deal with the pressure of being famous? How does she deal with the amazing food and keeping it in perspective? And I really wanted just to know, you know, how we can all achieve enjoying the most out of our food and life and still be healthy and feel good in our bodies. Hey, Alison.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. As great as can be.
As great as can be. I know it's such a weird time to ask people how they are, because how do you answer?
Yeah, I try to be as honest as possible. I feel like I'm great with no sort of self-awareness of that, like the barometer for great has just shifted. I think that you can still be great, but great today is definitely not as great 6 months ago.
and I think when people ask how you are, and if you start to complain or feel bad, you realize that we have nothing to complain about. We're healthy. You know, our loved ones are safe. So I try not to go there.
Yeah, I definitely feel on the privileged end of that spectrum for sure.
And you're somewhere in Brooklyn.
I am. Yeah, I was in Hudson, New York for a few weeks, staying with some friends. It was like an accident because I wasn't really sure how long this was going to last. And I was supposed to be in Australia. Mm. So I canceled my trip and I thought, I'll just go to Hudson for 2 weeks instead. But 2 weeks turned into 6 weeks.
And how long have you been back in your kitchen?
About a week.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I just want to go back just to even talk how we met, because I'll never forget. The first time I ever heard of you, I was asked to do a story for justbobby.com on your book. And I'm like, sure, send me the book. And I'm like, oh my God, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. How long ago did your book come out?
Nothing Fancy came out in October of 2019, and then Dining In, which is the first one, came out in October 2017.
So. Okay. And then when I was asked to be in a shoot and do makeup for a shoot for Elle India, I said yes, and they told me who was in it. And when I mentioned, you know, who was in it to my son, who is actually turning 30 this week and lives in Brooklyn, his fiance, who's also 30, was like, they don't get excited when I meet certain people. They could care less that I met this guy or that guy. She screamed because they are obsessed with you. I think your audience of cool 30-year-olds is just like, it's explosive. So
yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah, no, honestly. So, which I'm going to ask you sometime during this phone call, since my oldest son is turning 30 and he's a major foodie chef, so into it. What you think the one thing I should buy him for his birthday is. So you have the whole podcast to think about, unless you could have any idea.
I'll think of it. I may have some return questions for you to get a better sense, but I will have to get an answer for you.
Yeah. So hopefully, I think you live in the same neighborhood they do. They see you all the time, but anyways.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So anyways, the Elle India shoot, I was so happy to do your makeup, and you came in from another shoot and you looked gorgeous. But I took your makeup off and started again.
Yeah.
And I was so happy to do your makeup. And I don't know. I just thought it was, I just liked you as a human instantly.
I liked you as a human instantly. And I think what was funny for me is that on the call sheet, it says like, oh, makeup Bobby Brown. I didn't think Bobby Brown was going to be doing my makeup. I was like, oh, they're using Bobby Brown product. Or like, I don't know. It did not occur to me until like I sat in the chair and I was like, oh, this is happening. So that was a trip for me personally. It was great. And you're so wonderfully normal, like in a way that I have been aware of you for so long that I don't know. It felt like, those types of famous people live on a different planet. And I live on another planet, but I was like, we live on adjacent planets. I get it. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm a 30-year-old cool Brooklyn girl. That's my biggest problem in life. I'm actually a 63-year-old cool New Jersey girl, but you know, in my head, I'm you. So
I'm 34. I'm 30 also.
34. That is amazing. I thought you would have been, from all you've done, you know, older, I guess. I don't know. You have not aged, but you've been so popular before the pandemic. And since this pandemic, it's literally like your name gets mentioned and people start screaming. So why do you think that is? And how are you personally dealing with this?
It's definitely, it's different because I'm not necessarily promoting anything. And I think that when there's things like book tours and, you know, something happens where I'm promoting something, it's, you know, I'm trying to like drum up that excitement myself. Like I'm trying to talk about things and get the word out and get other people pumped on whatever it is that I'm promoting at the time. But right now, like I'm not really trying to promote anything, but it keeps happening. And I think it just is, I think that there is so much stuff out there that you can cook that has my name on it. And like, that's not because I'm more prolific than anyone else. I just think I've been doing it a lot longer. So, you know, there's like an entire catalog of recipes that exist on the internet, and then two books, and then, you know, a bunch of other stuff. But I don't know what it is. I can't think about it too hard, because then I don't ever want to be deliberate in that. I'm already afraid that there's going to be a backlash and that I'm going to fall from grace. People are going to get sick of me. I feel like I have to be really mindful of that. But maybe I should care less and just hope that it lasts forever. I don't know.
Well, you know, it kind of in a weird way reminds me of my career, where I burst into the scene just doing the kind of makeup I always did and always gave these kind of advice. And yeah, I've kind of been on like different paths and different journeys, but I've stayed authentic in the same, and it just kind of grows. And the more I'm like myself, the more people seem to want a piece of it. I think you are the same.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, you are yourself, and you're teaching people and giving people permission to enjoy and to love, you know, eating. And, you know, you're just, your food is so delicious. There's a million people who have delicious food out there, but your personality and your, I don't know, your coolness, and you're cool without being cool. No, that's really important. You're so cool without being cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I think that the only thing that has gotten me through, and that's like for better or for worse, but I am trying to be like, make sure that I am the same person all the time. Like I'm the same person with my friends and my family and on an interview and on TV and on a podcast and, you know, in whatever. Like, I think that like that is the key to anything, to anybody, like achieving any amount of trust with other people too. You know, I feel like if you are constantly shifting yourself to like fit the mold or to be what you think other people want or to follow a trend, like if there's not a ton of substance there. And I think that in agreeing to yourself that you always want to just be yourself and that you want to stay true to like what you believe in, with that comes the knowledge that you're not going to be for everyone, right? Like you can't bat 1,000. I don't know about sports. Is that a sports reference?
Yes. Yes.
You're bat 1,000 all the time, but I would rather the people that are into me, like respect the fact that I'm consistent, rather than try to please everybody all the time by like trying to do what is cool or popular in a given moment.
Well, it's authenticity. And I learned early on that when you're comfortable in your skin, you're confident and you're just easier to be around. And yeah. I think you definitely capture that. But how did you even discover like that you love to cook? Like were you a kid? Did you grow up in a cooking family?
Yeah. I mean, I grew up in LA, and my parent, I don't think it was like above average cooking, but maybe it was, but you know, we cooked dinner most nights and sometimes ordered pizza and sometimes ordered takeout. And it was pretty balanced. It didn't feel like my mom and my dad, like they are divorced. So I had two different households, but both in both households, it was like when we did cook, it was a lot of like chicken with asparagus and like rice, and like we always just had vegetables and protein, and it didn't feel like health food at all because it wasn't. And it also didn't feel like they cared. I mean, we definitely had some Marie Callender pot pies occasionally. Mm-hmm. That was one of my favorite foods, but it didn't occur to me that that was eating better or worse than anyone else. And I think that there's some families that grew up, you know, eating like organic and low carb and like this, that, and the other that like felt healthy. And then some families who, I've spoken to some people in my adult life who said they hadn't had a fresh vegetable until they were like in their 20s and moved to New York. So I would say that we definitely had a good balance, but it wasn't like every Sunday at Nona's house, we would gather around the table. Like that wasn't really the vibe, but I did start getting into cooking. I'd say like around high school, I've always loved food. I've loved eating. Not to be like, I love food culture. I just like food tastes good. And I was always very into that. It piqued my interest in a way that like, it never occurred to me that I would do it for a living. It's just something I always knew that I liked.
And did you go to college?
I started to go to college, but I did not graduate college. No. So I basically went away to school and then dropped out to work in a restaurant.
And just fell in love.
Yeah, I fell in love. I had been reading a lot of cookbooks and doing some more home cooking while I was in school, and then just kind of reached a breaking point where I wasn't happy where I was. I was in Santa Cruz, California, and it just wasn't gelling for me personally. And I thought, why am I wasting my time doing something that I clearly don't care that much about when there's something that I care a lot about and want to learn a lot about that I could do right now, you know, and thinking, okay, well, if that doesn't work out, or if I end up growing out of it, or I hate it, I can always go back to school. But I never did.
And then how did you get picked up by the New York Times?
So there were a lot of years between that and then that. So there was, I left to work in restaurants. I worked in restaurants for about 6 or 7 years. In California, mostly Los Angeles and San Francisco. And these were like fine dining restaurants with tasting menus and small kitchens that were very intense and very close knit and pretty like wildly creative, but also intensely hardworking work environments. But I loved that. I loved that vibe. I liked working really hard, and I liked the energy of service in a restaurant. I love like the work ethic. People just gave 1,000% every day. And it felt like this kind of team environment that we were all in it together. And it was like this kind of family unit. And I just became really addicted to that energy. Eventually I decided to move to New York to get out of restaurants, because at that point I had been working in them for so long. And, you know, I think in your early 20s, that work schedule is fine. Like you go into work at 11 a.m., you leave at 2 a.m. And that is just, that's how you work. And that was fine for me. And you make the least amount of money possible and you're barely making rent, but that's okay, because you get like beer at the end of your shift. And, you know, like you're not spending money anyway because you don't, you're at work all the time. It was this like lifestyle that breeded that kind of lifestyle, I guess, where you were broke all the time, but it didn't matter. And you worked all the time, but it didn't matter because you loved the work. And then I think I kind of grew physically and emotionally and mentally exhausted from that. And so I decided I was going to move to New York for 3 months just to like see what it's like, and then move back to San Francisco to open a bakery so I could, with my old boss. So I could not, I didn't want a restaurant, but I wanted to make food. So we're like, okay, bakery will be great because we can have our nights free and, you know, just work during the day, and that'd be great. So I moved to New York for 3 months. I'm using air quotes. And the next day after I got off the plane, I had an interview at Momofuku Milk Bar, where they had just opened like 6 months before. And it was like a friend of a friend who hooked me up with the job interview. And I was like, oh, it's a bakery and they make like cookies, cakes, and pies. And that sounds great and very easy for me, and like a day job, like, which I'd never really had. I'd kind of always like gone into each job and it was a full-time situation. I gave it my all and I was like, I'm ready for a less demanding job. So I took the job, and then very soon after, Christina was like, do you want to be a sous chef? Like, do you want a salary and health insurance? And I was like, yeah, that sounds great. I was 24 at the time, and I needed both of those things. And kind of then and there, like 2 weeks into me living in New York, that I wasn't going to stay for 3 months. I was going to stay indefinitely. And so that was 10 years ago. And I never went back.
Wow. And?
So I worked there. And then after about a year and a half, was like, okay, I got to get out of here because that's not why I moved to New York. So I just kind of started putting the word out to people that I had met along the way that I was looking for other work in the food world, which I wasn't quite sure what that meant, but I knew something had to exist. And got an interview with the food editor at the time at Bon Appetit. And he basically was like, have you ever tested recipes before? And I kind of lied and said yes, but I guess working in a restaurant, you are testing recipes, like, because you're testing work to put on a menu. And I had, done some testing for the Milk Bar cookbook. Like, I had done some stuff. I wasn't, I was also a professional cook. So I thought, okay, well, yeah, I can do this. So I said yes. And then, I started working in the test kitchen as a recipe tester freelance, meaning I was there for like 4 days a week because, they didn't have room on their staff for another person. And I just kept coming in 5 days a week anyway. I was like, oh, you are only going to pay me for 4 days a week, but I'll come in on the fifth day. And they're like, what are you doing here? But I just really liked it. And I felt like I belonged there. And I felt like the work ethic that I had working in restaurants, like, it just felt like the thing that you have to do. You have to show up on your days off. You have to stay longer than your shift. You have to show up early. You stay late. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of what you learn in a restaurant. And so I applied that same technique to securing a job there, because eventually then they hired me full time. And then after 4 years there, I left. It was just time for me to move on. I felt like I had a choice to stay working for a brand that ultimately I didn't have a ton of control over, like, for my personal career, which is hard because it's a really successful brand that people love. And, there's a lot of support and a lot of creative, wonderful, smart people who work there that make your work really shine. But I kind of knew that that was not going to be enough for me, and that I would rather achieve less and do it on my own terms. So I decided to leave. And then soon after, got a book deal, which was a 2-book deal, so for dining in and nothing fancy. And like a year after that, I started contributing to the New York Times. The food editor there, Emily Weinstein, she had approached me and said, we love your recipes. Could you ever consider contributing? And at the time I was working at Bon Appetit, so I couldn't. So the second that I was sort of a free agent, I looked her up and said, I'm free, if you're still interested. And then after about 2 years of just contributing kind of generally to the recipe database, I asked Sam Simpson if I could have a column, because he's like, are you happy? What can we do for you? How are you liking being here? And I was like, it's great. I want a column. I just figured I was sort of ready to like re-sink my teeth into like an actual place with more regularity, to kind of have a place where people could find me on a pretty consistent basis and have like a home again in that way. So it wasn't like a full-time job. It was just sort of putting a ring on it, so to speak, of committing to one brand.
So you're very entrepreneurial in your thinking. I mean, you sound like an entrepreneur, which I can only I can only imagine what we're going to see in the next decade from you. But that's probably another conversation.
I don't know. If you have any ideas, let me know.
I do. Are you kidding? I'd represent you in 2 seconds. I have a ton of ideas, but I definitely see things with your name on it, from food to pots and pans and sponges and vacuums and all sorts of things. But I'm sure I'm not worried about that. What I really want to talk to you about, because I am someone, as we discussed before we started this podcast, I'm someone that loves good food. I mean, I don't know what a foodie is, but I love the best tomato that you could find. I love dandelion greens. I love anchovy. I love all these amazing flavors in food. But I'm also someone that grew up insecure, being on every diet, wanting to be different than who I was. So I've dealt with body image things. I've dealt with, being frustrated about digestion. And I seem to like suffer from which door do I pick? And I'm trying in my, in my current situation to pick the door that makes the most sense, which I think I have. Do you deal with any of those things? I did hear you were half Jewish, so.
I am, yeah. So of course I do. I mean, I think the body image thing is very real. I think especially like the more that I found myself getting photographed and doing stuff on video, the first kind of bump of that, I was so hard on myself. Like I just like every picture I saw, I was like, oh, I look bad, or I look like this, or like my pants look weird, or like I was just so horrified by what I saw. And that is like not that fair to me, because I before that didn't really have a problem. It was only once I started seeing it reflected back to me, like in this media way, that I felt like I had to be different. When I saw like the whole celebrity culture where there's like, oh, you're a celebrity, you're an actor, you're a model, and then you can also write cookbooks, which like, okay, you can. I'm not sure that they're really writing the cookbooks. I'm not really sure that they're like living the thing in the way that I am. And I think that it took me, I mean, I still struggle with it, to be honest, but I think that I am now more active than I ever have been in my life. And I work out more and I eat what I want when I want. And I feel really good about that. And I no longer associate like, I'm no longer comparing myself to other people. I mm-hmm. think that this is my body. It's always been my body. I've always been very tall with like wide hips and like a big butt and thighs. And that is just, that's my body. I'm never going to be a small, svelte, petite person, no matter how much I eat or don't eat, no matter how much exercise or don't exercise. And I think that there's like a difference between feeling healthy and being healthy and looking healthy. And I would almost always rather feel healthy than like look healthy, whatever that means. I think that they're kind of like hopefully synonymous. Hopefully if you feel healthy, you look healthy too. But I feel like people have such a fraught relationship with food and what is, you know, quote unquote good for you versus not. And it kind of breaks my heart because a lot of questions I get from people now when they're cooking my recipes, they're like, oh, that looks amazing. Like, could I do it in an air fryer? Or could I cut the oil in half? Or could I use one can of coconut milk instead of two? And I'm like, I'm making food that is like delicious. And part of a really delicious food, there's things that involve fat. But on the whole, like I generally cook with olive oil and lots of vegetables and minimal meat. I almost never cook red meat. Like it's not super carby, like unless it's a pasta, which it's gotta be. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty balanced and I'm pretty conscious of the types of food that I'm asking you to cook that make me feel good. But I think that there's still like a whole culture that's dedicated to labeling food like healthy and good for you. And I just can't subscribe to that. That is just so not interesting to me. I'd rather not eat pasta than eat pasta made with noodles. You know, like I'd rather not eat red meat than eat a meat replacement. I'd rather like, I think that if you're going to do it, do it. If you're not, don't. But that's just my mentality. Like I also have a different relationship with food because I'm cooking it all day long, every day, especially recently. It's just like, sometimes I'm just exhausted and I had popcorn for dinner, you know, and that's not because I'm depriving myself. It's because I've eaten all day.
Yeah, but tell me about your popcorn, because you're not just taking Jiffy and putting it in the microwave.
No,
I'm not. Do you do something special to your popcorn?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay, so come on.
I pop it from, like I buy kernels. I don't have a microwave. Not because I'm a microwave snob, just I don't have room for it. It wasn't in my apartment and I didn't buy one. I don't have the space. But I take kernels, like loose kernels, and then I pop them in a small pot with either coconut oil or ghee. Or a neutral oil, if you know, like canola oil, vegetable oil. And then I pop the popcorn and then I season it with salt and nutritional yeast and like chili flake. That's delicious.
Yum. That sounds really good. Yeah. It sounds really good. So what restaurants do you miss right now? Like if you could, three
all
restaurants. All right. Give me your top three, especially in Brooklyn.
I miss Heart. my friends there, they're actually still kind of staying open. Not really, but they've turned it into a provision shop. So on Sunday, my two friends and I from a distance walked, 3 miles round trip in the rain just to go pick up a chicken from there, because we missed seeing them and we missed their hospitality. And, it was like a good way to support them and feel like connected to the place. Because I spent a lot of time in that restaurant.
What's their name?
It's called Hearts, H-A-R-T-S.
Okay.
I'm actually drinking from their mug right now. I miss that place. I miss Rucola, which is down the street from my house. That's like the Borum Hill restaurant. It's funny because if you look at where I live, there's literally just one restaurant in the middle of the neighborhood, and that's Rucola. So I lived there. I would have breakfast meetings there. I would have a solo lunch there. I would have a glass of wine at the bar. I would go on first dates. Like, I love that restaurant, and I miss it so bad. I miss Han Dynasty, which is Szechuan food, and that was sort of like my, if I was ever hungover or if it was like really bad weather out or I didn't feel like cooking, mostly on a Sunday, I would order takeout from them. And damn, I miss that food so much. It's also not the kind of food that I can cook. So.
And how about pizza? Do you have a favorite pizza place?
I do, but most pizza places are still open. That's what's funny. Okay. So I miss it. I had pizza for the first time in like 2 months on Sunday. And just because I had been in Hudson, so I wasn't having access to it. But I really missed it. I got it from Table 87, which was fine. I like Brooklyn Pizza Market a lot. I was trying to like try a new slice place, but I think most pizza places are open right now, which is comforting because it is one of my favorite foods.
And what did you have for breakfast so far?
Black coffee. I'm not a breakfast person. So, I don't normally eat until like noon or 12:30.
So you're intermittent fasting. I hate to put a label on it.
Am I?
Yeah. What time did you stop eating last night?
Probably like 8.
You are literally doing.
Although I did have a glass of wine. I had a glass of wine after that. So does okay. I think that cancels that out, right?
Yeah, it probably does. But still, I think from noon to like if you did it at 9, which they say helps you keep your weight down and is a healthy thing. I don't know if it is or isn't. I go back and forth on that kind of stuff.
My mom does it and she swears by it. She's really into it. But I just sort of have never been a breakfast person. Even when I work out in the morning, I don't eat before because it makes me feel like I found that it actually made me feel worse to work out with food in my stomach, even if it was like half an egg and like, I don't know, something light. It was still like I could feel it. So I always prefer to eat after a workout. I didn't work out yet today, but.
And what kind of coffee do you drink?
I drink black coffee.
But like Maxwell House from Instant? No. What kind of coffee?
No, I'm drinking, I drink beans that I grind in a coffee grinder and then I like a Chemex pour over. It's nice because it's like a kind of a ritual. It's like the first thing I do in the morning. And I have my little carafe and I drink through it throughout the day. I always let my coffee go cold unintentionally, but that's just how I drink my coffee now.
Same cup. Okay.
Yeah, because I keep it in a Chemex, so I'll just kind of refill throughout the day. But that's pretty much the only consistent thing in my consumption habits throughout the day. I'm not a very routine-based person, especially with food. Every day is so different that it's like what I do today is definitely not going to be what I do tomorrow and vice versa. I'm very like, I let my instincts guide me. Like, what do I feel like eating today? What do I feel like eating right now?
Well, it's 20 to 12. Do you have an idea what you want for lunch or have you not thought about it?
Well, I have a fridge full of food right now. So I have a lot to work with. I have a chicken that I roasted and I carved it yesterday. So I have all like the parts ready to go. So I'll probably make something with the chicken. I made broth with the leftover carcass. So like every time I roast a chicken, I take the meat off if I'm not going to eat it all that night. And then I make broth with the rest of everything. So I kind of have two birds, one stone. So I might heat up some of that broth and add the chicken back to it. I have some beans that I made. Maybe I'll add some of the beans to the broth. And then I have some broccoli rabe. So maybe I'll make like a little soupy situation. And then with some like chili oil on top. Or I don't know. Sometimes I keep like snacky things that I love to eat. Like I love cottage cheese. Full fat cottage cheese is so, so delicious to me. And I like eating that with cucumbers, with lemon and chili oil on top. So maybe I'll have that.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, I put some, I had a piece of that you probably won't like, a piece of like paleo bread that I toasted that I actually like the taste with cottage cheese, a piece of smoked salmon and everything bagel seasoning.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, it was actually really good. I mean, I try not to eat too many carbs because they don't make me feel good, but I would literally, if there was like French or Italian bread, I will eat the entire thing. Because I love it so much.
That's kind of how I feel about carbs in general. Like when I'm going to eat them, I'm going to just eat them. I'm going to eat the pizza. I'm going to like make a pasta. I'm going to buy really nice bread from the bakery that I love. But it's not something that I keep in my house because I don't crave it. I don't need it. It's not something I deprive myself of, but that is the one food that I have realized for like my stomach health isn't great.
You mentioned that you do exercise a couple of days a week. What is your favorite exercise? What do you do?
Well, in the before, I was doing SoulCycle and hot yoga pretty much and Rumble, which is like a boxing hit class. Now, obviously, can't do SoulCycle. So I started running again, which is like, I started running, quote unquote, I started like 2 weeks ago. Which I have historically really not cared for, but I think that because it's been so quiet, I've actually kind of enjoyed it because I think what I don't like about running is being out with all the people, but there is nobody out. So I feel like if I can do it in a way that feels safe and I wear like my mask and I, you know, avoid people if I see them type of thing, I feel like there's a way to do it that feels thoughtful and conscientious and not just like I'm running on the streets. That to me has been really nice. It's also just like a way to get out of the house. And then I still do like the boxing HIIT classes from Zoom. Some friends of mine and I are on like a group fitness chat, which we started back in December, of just kind of a way to keep each other abreast of what classes we were taking and when, so we could all join. And now we have a like standing Wednesday and Sunday class with one of the instructors from Brooklyn, that are like 45 minutes sessions, and that's really great. And then I do yoga maybe twice a week, three times a week.
That's cool. So you're also known beside food as this beauty girl. So
yes.
What red nail polish are you wearing? What are you wearing?
This is Essie Geranium.
That's what I wear.
Really?
Well, you can see it. It's half on my toes. I usually have it on my fingers. That is my go-to color.
Yeah, this is a little chipped right now, but that is my... Well, my go-to is like red 47 or whatever, because I get gel. I'm addicted. But I do. And if my nails aren't painted, I do feel kind of naked.
And you're known for red lips. What are your favorite red lipsticks?
Right now... I've been wearing MAC in Lasting Passion. I'm always trying to find like a lipstick that'll stay on really. And I admittedly like am very bad at makeup. Like I don't know much about it. I've never known that much about it. It's not something that I've ever researched. I wish that I knew more about it. I'm only just now getting into like taking care of my skin, or at least attempting to. And I feel like makeup is the next frontier, but I'm a pretty like low maintenance person visually. Somebody asked me the other day, who does her hair and makeup for those YouTube videos? And I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, I got to blow out a dry bar and then I do my own makeup like 5 minutes before we shoot.
But
like,
that's why you look so good.
You would probably be horrified at my beauty routine, but you know, but that's what I actually like about you is that I wouldn't feel embarrassed to tell you. I feel like it's a judgment-free zone.
Yeah, because it's normal. By the way, like my, you know, I had hair tapings in my hair because when I shoot, I needed full at the bottom and I took them out. And I'm like, okay, so what now? Like, to me, it's like everything's, trust me, when we get out of this quarantine, I'm going right back to my girl to get them back because I really miss them, you know? So I want to go back to all those things, but, you know, so right now I am cooking more than I ever have. And thank you so much, Allison, for inspiring me and inspiring like everyone out there, my family. And I don't know if you thought about it, but what am I buying Dylan for his 30th birthday? My Brooklyn foodie guy.
He's like a real foodie guy. I'm assuming he has things like a Dutch oven. I'm assuming he has like, you know, those basic staples, right?
I would guess so. So what's the...
Well, because to me, like, equipment is the thing where that's like when you're, you know, you could buy a lesser version for yourself because you're like, oh, I'll buy the nice one in 10 years. But like a nice Dutch oven is really worth the money. Like a nice set of skillets that you only need three, you don't need five. Yeah. And like just buying like a set that all fit together, like a really nice knife that I feel like you want fewer things, but just really high quality things. Yeah. So I need to know what he has and what he doesn't have. You could maybe like coordinate with his fiance. There's some really awesome places in New York still doing delivery. Especially if he's into wine, there's like an amazing wine store up in Kingston, New York called Kingston Wine. But yeah, I feel like getting the thing that you already know they love. Yeah. Like if it were my birthday and I got a shipment of a case of wine from Kingston Wine Company, I would be over the moon. Or like, you know, there's a place called Mermaid's Garden in Prospect Heights that is a seafood place, and they have beautiful clams and head-on prawns and salmon roe and caviar. Yeah. There's a place that I've been getting oysters from, which is called Island Creek Oyster, and they're based out of Massachusetts. And they shipped 50 oysters to my two friends and I when we were quarantining together. And that was the most fun we had had in weeks. And it just felt really special. And it kind of was like, you know, it just felt like a treat. And you're also supporting small business. And I think that that's really cool too. So,
Well, I know my producer's probably ready to kill me. I could talk to you for the next 4 hours. So maybe I'll see you on Zoom, but
I hope so.
Thank you for doing this. And I'd love to see you, you know, again in the future.
Stay safe. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, you too. Bye.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.